Welcome back to TKO, and I don't know, I'm just jittering with excitement. Gentlemen, Justin Wong, Maximilian, what are we talking about today?
We pushed this a few back because there was just so much fighting game news in general, right? And then I know Matt was just so upset because you love stuff like this. But we're talking about fighting game media, right? And what are we talking about when it comes to fighting game media?
Well, I both of you know that there's tons of fighting game media out there. Like between like the 90s going into the 2000s, like there was a flurry of stuff, like a lot of animated things. Today, since there's so much to actually go through, we have to crunch it down. We'll talk about animated stuff because that's this whole other category. And a lot of that is like not even really movies. Like a lot of those are just short animations. Like some of them are like 40 minutes long. Street Fighter Alpha Generations. I even think Street Fighter Alpha, I think it's called the movie, but it's something like 61 minutes long. Like it's barely a film.
Is that the one with the not Seth guy, dude with the glasses that sucks everybody's power?
He doesn't suck everyone's power. He collects the data.
The data.
Oh, collects the data.
Yeah.
So I think to start us off on this inaugural like fighting game media episode, we better stick to the live action or theatrical movies. And there is one animated movie we have to use as the tone setter because you could lobby that this did appear in Japanese theaters, video, of course, for the rest of the world. And we have mentioned it a few times before. I think it all got us through our puberty years, including one scene in particular, and that is Street Fighter II, the animated movie. And we have mentioned the various cuts and stuff, but I want to start with Justin. Where did you first see that, see this film, and in what, like, venue was it? Was like a home video thing? Was it the Laserdisc? I'm very excited to know.
So this movie is a 10 out of 10. It's 100% for me, 10 out of 10. And I remember vividly that I went to this place called Penguin Village. It's Chinatown, like little mall, and it has like little those game shops. But then next to the game shop was an illegal DVD center where they would just sell like bootlegs of like, you know, VHS tapes of Dragon Ball, you know, where anime is during the time. And then they had a Street Fighter one. And I was like, oh, really? There's a Street Fighter one. So I bought it, took it home, and I loved every second of it just because of like the artwork, the intro, man, the intro of Ryu just charging up that Hadouken in like that grassy stage that we see in Alpha 2 and also in the Street Fighter 5 stage. That was like the sickest like opening ever.
The fact that they emulate the Super Street Fighter 2 like Ryu, like, so so cool.
so that was my experience. And I mean, anytime like somebody would want to watch the movie or if it was on, I'm tuned in for sure.
Yeah, what's really interesting about that opening scene is that they kind of hide a bit of what, like, that core thing of the movie, or not core, but, like, really important component, where you see, like, this weird green overlay looking at Ryu, and it's like, Ryu likes spider, hates spiders, likes martial arts, blood type, and it says, like, power level, like 52, like 9,000 or whatever. So it says that, but it doesn't give you any context until later in the movie. Like why did that show? That's weird. It's not explained, but I watched I watched the censored version first where I rented it from my local, it wasn't the illegal bootleg store. I hope that was the name of the store you went to. It just says it on the front.
It had no name. It was literally just a shop, like literally the small corner. And the guy, like, he didn't have no room. It was just VHS tapes everywhere. And he was just sitting in this like little stoop in this like spot. And there's like no walking room whatsoever. So that's when you know it's like the most illegal thing ever.
This is like early weed dispensary days. No signage. Can't put anything. You just gotta walk in.
But we have fighting game anime. That's what we, so that's our drug of choice.
Yeah.
Justin, when this guy like came out of the store, did he say, hey kid, wanna come with me to watch some fighting game anime? And you got into his car and he drove you to another state?
You know, what got me was that he had this like CRT, like on his store, and then people just watch Dragon Ball outside. Like literally, there would be kids outside of the store just watching anime from there, and you could just purchase it. So I mean, technically, he was luring us kids to buy bootlegs. Yes,
that's nice. Yeah. You got to start early. You got to start the kids off early. So yeah, like I watched the censored version, and when Ryu DPs Sagat, it's this really awkward cut where it just zooms in on his face, and you can tell because the lines that like outline the characters are like blurrier and like they look crappier because they zoomed in, and he's just like and he's like holding his chest, and it should be a big bleeding wound, and it's zoomed in more.
Yeah,
I think it's painted out. So yeah, that scene is such a tone setter. And like even as a kid, you know, it's starting up and it's going like, oh, there's the international group called Shadow Law, which I never really found out. I'm assuming that's just like a mistranslation somewhere down the line. Like, I don't know. Shadow Law sounds way cooler.
It does.
Why did they stick with that? Anyway, they just start talking political things like, there's this happening, and there's this conference happening in England where this dude is doing like a presentation, and Cammy, and you see Cammy in that cool red cape, red hood, and that scene following, like, you don't, how are you going to follow up that great Ryu versus Sagat battle? And they do it with like this sick ass animation of Cammy grabbing the guy, breaking his neck.
The hooligan.
And aside from the middle, I'd say the middle portion of the movie, it just kind of drags. There's a lot of long scenes where nothing's really happening. It's just random battle after random battle. But like looking back on it now, I'm like, that's kind of almost perfect for the time.
Yeah.
At that point, you just want to see the characters you love doing a fight. Whereas the Van Damme movie, which we'll talk about next, is concerned with telling a bad story badly. Cheesy, but badly. And you actually don't get a lot of fights in that at all. Because except for like two or three.
At least like things like the Fei Long fight are actually good and fun.
Super sick.
And there is absolutely characters that get the short end of the stick, like DJ and T-Hawk. Like they have very brief introductions, and they're around for we just have to include them because this is post Super Street Fighter 2, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, wait, where's DJ? And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He was just chilling in the streets.
He kicks a robot in the head, and that's like about it.
I think it's like DJ's lines are something like, man, if you're looking for the USO, you are in the wrong place. Or are you looking for DJ? And Guile's like, you have to stay away from Shadow Law. They'll kill you. They're super tough. Don't. Hey, man. Okay. I like that. Oh, okay. So 90s. But hey, well, Max said, like, oh, they got to shove in everyone. You got to shove in everyone. Even a secret character.
Even Akuma, just right?
Lying against the wall. I've heard that there's like an extra scene that like an extra shot of him that's just kind of like over his shoulder. You see him in a bit more close up, or it was a sketch that they planned to include and they didn't actually animate it.
So the funniest thing about, you're talking about Akuma, right?
Yes, I am. I'm talking about Gouki.
The funniest thing about the one frame, technically like one frame that Gouki is in,
he's selling fruit.
If you're in the 4x3 version, you could barely see him.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's true.
He's like cut off for the most part in the old school version. Now he's like very visible in like the DVD releases and the widescreen versions. But yeah, like the way I initially watched this movie that I remember, because I don't remember actually the first time I saw it. The version that I had was a VHS recording of the HBO version. And okay. The HBO version, I think, was the only one that was in America, which was you didn't get any of the blood. Like all the blood effects are gone, but they kept the most important scene in the movie. For some reason, the blood was too much, but the very important scene with a very important character was there. And yes, I'm happy to say that the Blanca shower scene was still in my version. And I couldn't believe it, that the Blanca shower scene.
I gotta wash up for mama.
Not the head bite. That's how I played it. And I essentially shared that to friends, and they copied my VHS tape because I had HBO. That's when I first remember actually having a physical copy of it, was like a tape of a broadcast on TV.
Have you guys watched the Japanese version with the original soundtrack and the Japanese voiceovers?
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah,
I did.
It sucks because we are exposed so hard and so frequently to the American version, because it is a very different thing, the American version, because all the music is swapped out for like metal and alternative bands like Silverchair and of course the Korn song,
KMFDM and shit.
Yeah. But those are such high intensity songs, especially for KMFDM during Chun-Li versus Vega. And I think it's like a piano piece or something slower.
It's very somber.
Yeah, which is interesting. Like, I don't hate that, but just for nostalgia's sake, like, I'll always rather watch the American version. And when Ryu and Ken are having flashbacks when they were training, and I still think it's so cool that Capcom are like, let's just make Street Fighter Alpha based on this.
Yeah.
These little scenes. Like, it's very interesting. Let's just do that. And that scene where they're training, it just straight up has a love song. Like, it has a...
Oh, in the Japanese one?
Yeah, it has a love song where it'll give you the lyrics, right, at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
And it's just like, these dudes love the fuck out of each other. They'll do anything.
They're BFFs, right?
But it's like ethereal. It's just simple ethereal music, like that's barely anything in the American version. But when there's fights, they're like, "Oh, we got to turn this shit up!" And they'll play like a when Ken is driving in his Fiat or no, his like a Lamborghini or whatever,
it's a Porsche.
Car.
It's a Porsche, Porsche.
Thank you. With Eliza, and they're playing like the Silverchair song, and it's so perfect because Eliza's like, Ken, what's wrong? And he pumps up the music to drown her out, like shifts gears and he goes, nothing, and just keeps driving. And she's like, is something wrong with you?
He drives head into a truck.
Yeah.
He just like, starts going ham.
Because he's thinking about his real love.
He's thinking about Ryu.
Exactly.
Like, well, I wonder what's he doing, right? And then I think it cuts to the scene of Ryu just like hanging upside down between a mountain and I'm like climbing like a spider or a rope. Inside, I'm like, how do you even climb this? Like,
he's
upside down.
I thought the same thing when he's climbing at some point. It's fine. It's like, well, it's like really hard, but yeah, he's just gripping. Like he's just a Spider-Man all of a sudden. And it's never explained. He doesn't have it never even explains like Ryu's going all around the world and they're implying that he's just walking.
Yeah.
He's doing the Forrest Gump.
Like Interpol, because Chun-Li's interwoven throughout most of the movie, thank God. And her Interpol boss is just like, yeah, we're tracking Ryu. He's been just traveling like a motherfucker through like Tibet and China and all these places
that are very far away from each other.
And it seems like the movie is taking place over the course of like a week, maybe. Yeah. And like Ryu's
now
just
he's in India,
right? Still with no shoes, just so straight, is just barefoot, like just like stank foot the whole entire time.
Never shows him getting off a plane. He does collect money. Like he's going to street fights and stuff, and there's like a little bit of talk about money and blah blah blah. Like E Honda is like, "Hey, we're Japanese, so we're brothers," and just passes him some of his winnings because, like, oh, is it Dalsim got distracted by Ryu's musk?
By Ryu's power level, right?
Yeah, he has great stink to him.
All of this culminates, of course, into like a two-way fight, which, of course, is got homage later in the dramatic battles, I think, of Street Fighter Alpha, right? It seemed really similar because Ryu and Ken fight Bison like two against one.
And even the developers say this in interviews like later on in, I think, some of the recollections of Street Fighter on Polygon, that movie was crazy influential. Not just like it was like a tandem marketing thing. It was made before Super Turbo, right as Super was coming out. So it predates Alpha in many ways. And my God, man, it almost is like a trendsetter for what they would be doing with the Street Fighter story from that point forward.
I think in Alpha 1, in Ryu's background in front of the like the little shops,
there's a poster.
There's a poster for it. Yeah. And I'm like, that's... The movie's over. Like, you're not doing promotion. They just put that in there because, let's get that in there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's it. So Capcom did this. They made this animated movie just to cover their bases because they had, of course, America making their own movie.
Oh God.
And yeah, very, very briefly, I'm not sure if you guys heard about this, like this bit of lore about why this movie got made. It's like all these Capcom execs went to America. They had meetings with like a bunch of different movie studios and all of their pitches were terrible because all these companies had no idea what Street Fighter was. They just knew it was hot as shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, there's this big Japanese property. We got to make something. And no one came up with anything. And like the Capcom execs were about to leave and just be like, oh, forget it. We're not going to make an animated movie. And they gave one Stephen E. D'Souza, who is a scriptwriter for Die Hard and Arnold Schwarzenegger's Commando, among other movies. They're like, listen, you have to get a script out, like a story treatment at the very least done in like a weekend. And we're going to present it to them. And I think the main thing that made Capcom go, oh, okay. They're like, we can merchandise the shit out of this because it's basically just G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can have toys. Yeah, exactly. We have toys, all this stuff. And Calvin, okay, fine. Like, you know, like maybe they wouldn't have accepted this if it was the first offer they got. But since they're about to leave like America and like never try this again or not for a long time, like that's the way that that's why the movie is what it is. Street Fighter, just Street Fighter. Always confused me as a kid. I'm like, why isn't it called Street Fighter 2? That's stupid. And the movie, what were the movie guys supposed to do? Yeah. They call it Street Fighter 2, yeah, and they're just like,
people are gonna ask, where's Street Fighter 1?
Oh, what is your guys' experience watching Street Fighter? So
I almost have to like test my memory of this, but and I'm curious to see what you guys remember. I remember watching this like maybe 10 years ago with a friend. And not ever seeing it in full, just like knowing of the memery and stuff like that. So I watched it probably like 2009, 2010.
Oh, okay. This so
movie,
late.
Yeah, it was way after it came out. I didn't care to see it when it came out.
Oh, really? You were just like, you're like Little Angry Max was like, it's not my Street Fighter. Just, and you just didn't want to see
killer
it.
Instinct.
I think at that time, I just didn't care. Like, it just seemed so weird. But there is one thing I really like about it. This movie is so boring. Like, I remembered viciously, just can somebody just fight for fuck's sake? Like I watched like 40 minutes of this movie, and then Ken is about to fight Vega, and then is bulldozed down by a truck, and it stops the fight. Like, characters are about to engage in battle in some way, and they get interrupted by other characters. No, don't fight.
Guile.
No fighting or, here. Truck stops the fight here.
Or if there is a fight, it's over in like a move or two, It's not like a match.
And then
know?
The only time there's actually a fight is technically between like Raul Julia and Jean-Claude Van Damme in the end, which is actually like a big fight scene. But that leads me to the thing that is like at the absolute treasure of this film that carries the entire goddamn movie on his literal deathbed back is Raul Julia.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He did this movie for his kids as he was dying with like a mysterious disease or something. Man. And he did this because his kids love Street Fighter, and the dude kills it. He's like the greatest live action M. Bison you have ever seen.
Yeah, I think I heard that it was maybe like a stomach thing, maybe stomach cancer, I'm not sure, but like he was losing weight rapidly, and for the Street Fighter the movie, the game, he could not do like the motion capture, the digitization. So he's played in his game sprite by like another guy, and they just used Raul Julia's portrait and stuff. I'm surprised you say it's boring, because listen, it's bad, and you're right.
It's bad,
the fights don't happen, but like everything else is so cheesy and jokey and stupid that I wouldn't describe it as boring. There's going to be some later movies, like the later 2000s ones, that I would describe as boring because there's no charm anymore. You know what I'm saying?
I remember like sort of like watching it with a friend way beyond its prime, right, when it first came out. And I think it was like sort of pre Plinkett movie review era, where we really can identify what makes movies like shitty and why people don't like them. So I just came across like, I'm just expecting and hoping that it has like some of the things the animated movie has, and it doesn't. Like, characters do not engage in battle like ever, and they just weirdly talk to each other. Like,
what, the movie's called Street Fighter.
Street Fighter. I think I really I want to say I watched this movie in the theaters. Like, I want to say I went to the movie theaters with like my dad and watched it, because I remember watching it like when it first came out, for sure, just because I was a huge fan of Street Fighter and I was a huge fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme, right? Everyone was kind of like fiending for Jean-Claude Van Damme because of his like action movies were like so... They were so on point as a kid.
He was at a zenith there because he had just had Time Cop, and Time Cop was like a big hit. So
it was right. So I love the one. Which one's like he? What was that movie? The one he played like two characters. Like he was like twins, right?
Double Impact. Yeah,
I love that one. That one was fantastic, right? But besides that, just like thinking about it now, the movie is just it's bad, but it's like hilariously bad. Like it's like funny, like you enjoy the comedy aspect,
so bad it's good kind of thing. Yeah,
right. Like the fact that like if you know Street Fighter, and the fact that they introduce Ryu and Ken as like drug dealers or smugglers pretty much is like the funniest thing in the world to me. Right and then like Chun-Li has like a whole squad, and like Balrog is like a good guy, like, and then Honda's like is like his homie and everything, right? Like straight like Hawaiian this point, or Samoan.
Honda's like a Samoan or Hawaiian guy, I'm not too sure.
DJ's a hacker.
Right, DJ's a hacker, like, and then like Dawson's a scientist.
Dawson's a scientist,
But the funniest part about Dawson was that like he was a scientist in this white wardrobe the whole entire time, and then when at the end, for some reason, he becomes shirtless and has skulls, and I'm like, wait, how did he change costumes? Why did he change costumes?
He took the skulls of the other scientists.
Like he literally just dressed up as Dawson, like as the actual Street Fighter character at the end of the movie. And I'm like, what happened?
I think it's funny how every character is so dramatically different than everything that you know them as, and then Zangief is just one-to-one Zangief.
Like, they nailed the fuck bro, out of Zangief that guy.
With this one, and then Guile's like... And I was like, oh, that's too funny.
That's the stuff that, as a kid, my experience was like, oh my God, I can't wait for this. This is going to be the greatest movie of all time. My mom bought me, like, the magazine that hypes kids. It was like whenever there was a big movie geared towards kids, they have a special magazine. It would say Street Fighter. It's like the most bone crushing movie of all time. And I was like, more like the most dream crushing movie of all time. But so it would just give all these pictures, and it would hype you up, and it would even show you scenes that they cut from the movie. Guile fights a snake in a tunnel. Max is talking about where all the fights, they cut them because Guile has a fight with a fucking snake and they just cut it out. Right. So when I finished watching this, like, I hated it. I was like, oh my God, because I was like 13-14, so I'm kind of like wanting a bit more stuff on the edgy, like I wanted Street Fighter the animated movie, right?
Yeah, of course.
So this, I was just like, boo, I hated it. And I went like for a good decade being like, oh God, this is the worst, like what an embarrassment. And then after that, when I started watching it again, like when DVD became a thing, I got this special edition DVD, and I was like, let me reevaluate this. And now I'm on the side of like, I love this fucking thing. It's the worst, but yeah, it's the best.
It just ages better, right? When you get older, just because you laugh at it.
Yeah.
And you notice like little things that's pretty good. Like, I love the fact that like Bison Raul Julia, he was just playing a mini game with trying to shoot down Guile's ship, and you just see
the arcade board.
Right, you just see the arcade board and like the little random, literally a random game. I don't even know what it is, but that was fantastic. That was just beautiful.
And there's like that scene where Balrog and Honda and Chun-Li are like doing a little magic show to infiltrate Bison's camp, and one of the big barrels has Capcom written on it. Yeah. Stuff like that. So it's stuff like that where it's like, that's really fun. Like it's definitely someone on the production was like, let's get little nods and references in there and stuff. On that DVD I mentioned, it had two of the weirdest extras I've ever seen in like a DVD thing. They just included a full match, or like two out of three matches of Super Turbo.
Wait, what?
Where it was Guile versus Bison trying to recreate the final fight of the movie, and they made sure that Guile's color was blue to match his in-movie persona, and they just have two matches.
So this is on the DVD?
This is on the collector's edition DVD that came out like in 2006.
So they do a Super Turbo Machinima.
Yes.
Oh my God.
The actual in movie fights. That's kind of amazing.
There's no commentary.
How was the match though?
I have to watch it again. I think I still have the DVD somewhere. I'd like to watch it just to I don't know. I can make content out of this somehow. Oh, I don't know how. And the other funny extra is they have a director's commentary. Now that's not obviously weird in and of itself, but it's the director's commentary from the Laserdisc version from 1994 or 95.
Oh, so he was hot off the movie.
He was hot off the movie. He was so hot off the movie, Maximilian, that the movie had not premiered yet. So he's talking mad shit about everyone. He's like, we're going to blow him away. This is going to be so much better than the Mario Brothers movie. Oh my God, we're going to blow him away. That Double Dragon movie that they're filming like next door. Oh, they don't fucking know. I'm going to be a superstar. And he's just talking shit like this. And it's so hilarious that like 15 years later, they're like, just use this commentary track. It's aged like fine wine. So
that's good.
Oh, and the last thing was I was hanging around some Capcom guys at a Captivate event. I think it was Captivate or it might have been something else, but it's almost entirely sure it was Captivate. And everyone's just talking whatever. And someone mentions, oh, the Street Fighter movie, ha, ha, ha. And I think this is, I think the other Street Fighter movie had already premiered by this point. We're talking about the old one. And I want to say it was Sven, but it could have been Seth Killian. I can't remember. It's one of the S names. They're like, Capcom makes like $1 million a year on that movie every year.
Wow.
That just the broadcasting TBS re-upping license.
And TNT would re-host
all that stuff.
Them,
like, they're like, it's the greatest investment we ever made.
I mean, technically, yeah, that sounds pretty good, because if I saw it on TV, I would just probably leave it on.
I remember that, like, the actual box office for it was a blow up, right? They didn't make any money, but apparently when it came eventually to like DVD and VHS sales and stuff like that, they really recouped a lot, and apparently it ended up being super profitable for them. Like it took a long time, but it really had legs for some weird reason.
I think it's because if it was like much lamer and like no charm and no, and it wouldn't happen at the height of Street Fighter. Like if it was like, oh, I don't know, a Chun-Li movie from 2009 that everyone actually hates and no one wants to watch again. Like you're not still selling it. A Blu-ray, a collector's edition Blu-ray of the Van Damme movie with cool artwork where they extended Van Damme's hair to be more Guile-like.
What? I gotta see that.
Yeah. just look up now, like collector's edition Blu-ray or something, 2021 or 2022. Yeah. Someone re-released it and redid the artwork, like repainted over the like main picture of the cast and stuff. It looks sick as shit, actually. They're still re-releasing this film and other... Max is freaking out!
They did bump up his... It's like a recreation artwork. Right? Yeah. It's actually like a painting, but they spruced him up. They actually like... his hair is like 2 inches bigger than it is natively. How funny.
Since this was released at like, you know, pretty much the height of Street Fighter 2... Like, I can see so many people still being like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I want to watch that again. But who sits around and goes, man, the Chun-Li movie, it's actually pretty good. Like, you know, re-release that. I don't think that's ever been re-released.
That's that one. I feel like they just kind of just said, you know what? Let's just try to make an accident happen again and make money off of it. And it just didn't work for Legend of Chun-Li. Like, that one was just horrendous.
I was secretly hoping, Justin, you're like, no, I really like it. It's underrated. No, I love Chun-Li.
You know, obviously, I love Chun-Li, but man, like, that one was something else. Like, I couldn't watch the whole thing.
I remember there in the early Street Fighter 4 days, they were like really hyping up that movie because it's like, Street Fighter's gonna be put on the map. That. And I got invited to this thing because like all the SoCal like Super Arcade folks were hyped about it, and I'm good, man. Like, I just had no confidence.
Hold that thought right now, though. Mortal Kombat. Max, you said you weren't into Street Fighter, but did you see Mortal Kombat as a kid when it was in theaters?
100%. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what was the change there? Just Street Fighter look lame?
Yeah, I think that was just so different. Like this guy doesn't look like Guile, number one. Like, nothing about the movie looks like cool. I think it's just like the early impression was that Mortal Kombat had fucking Goro in it. You know, like there was at least some stuff to be like, oh, let's go to the theater and watch Mortal Kombat. And yeah, like MK ends up being this huge precedent, like video game movie, like the best video game live action movie there is. And the soundtrack is like the soundtrack to your life for several years, you know?
100%. Yeah. Even now, they still play that like in clubs and like, or
it's an absolute banger. Yeah,
you'll even hear it at like, even like those EDC shows. Like,
dude, they always play the
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Just the music during the Reptile and Liu Kang fight, which was added later.
Yeah.
The movie originally didn't have that. They didn't have that. And I think we talked about this a little bit before. They didn't have the Johnny Cage and Scorpion fight, the latter half of it. They added that in when test audiences saw Rough Cut, and they're like, there's barely any fight. They're bored.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I saw Stargate the year previous in theaters, and there they had the trailer for Mortal Kombat, and I lost my goddamn mind.
Yeah.
I was like, it looks so awesome. Oh my God, this is so much better than Street Fighter. Oh my God, look, there's Scorpion, whatever. And there's little differences here and there, like Scorpion Sub-Zero's arms are like covered up with black cloth. When they don't have that, they just have their bare arms and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then you can see little differences and you're like, eh, but it was so close to like the feeling of Mortal Kombat, especially with the music, because even though they had like, you know, kind of like tournament style, like drums and things, and it got you so hyped up. And then I remember watching an old episode of Saturday Night Live, like in 95 in the summer, and they had the a little commercial or trailer saying coming like August 13th Mortal Kombat. It showed Sub-Zero freezing that jobber that does all these flexes and poses and is trying to be all cool, and Sub-Zero kills him in like one shot, and I was just like, oh my God. And when I actually saw it, I was like really happy with it. There's of course things that people point out, like, oh, you never got a Scorpion versus Sub-Zero fight, that kind of sucked. Or
Scorpion and Sub-Zero are just like jobbers, they just work for Shang Tsung.
They work for Shang Tsung, which is fair. It's like,
they were great jobbers, though. They were, because those are like two, like the best fight scenes in the movie. Because Scorpion and Johnny Cage, man, like that fight scene was
great. Is badass, dude. What a cool setting, too, you know, like the bamboo forest.
Yeah, that's why. You know, so many people remember, like, it's the same thing as Street Fighter, where people at least remember it, and having those movie skins and MK11 was like, wow, that's a good call. Like, we haven't seen anything like that before in like modern Mortal Kombat, just reaching that far back into the past.
It's funny how like when the fighting game movies that are really good and have a lot of reverence go on to like influence the games themselves. And it happened with Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, and it happened with the original Mortal Kombat movie.
Kano, we've talked about before. Kano like got influenced. His character changed completely, almost
based on the movie. Yeah,
for that, and probably some other smaller things we're forgetting stuff. Oh, just even without the movie skins, bringing back the actor Kerry Tagawa to play Shang Tsung, and just destroy. Like, I don't want. Get away Kronika, get away Shinnok. All I want is this Shang Tsung now. I don't want this man cannot die ever. Please don't. Because you are Shang Tsung. Like, you informed that character up to the modern era, which is really weird. Like, imagine if Raul Julia was brought back, you know, not brought back to life, but like he never died, you know, and Capcom brought him back in to like voice Bison like a DLC pack. Like, it's very rare this type of stuff happens.
The same thing sort of goes with Johnny Cage. Like, what Johnny Cage's persona like ends up being after the movie, they go really ham on like the Hollywood stardom, like even more than the games do, that really give him his character and his persona that came from the movie.
Yeah,
I'd say
the cocky attitude.
Yeah, like the super cocky, like all that stuff is like that actor is mostly responsible for that character being that way. In the same way that Kerry Tokugawa is the guy that gave Shang Tsung his personality and like your soul is mine, like type of shit. Like it's him actually that gave that character that.
You know, the funny thing is, I met Kerry Tagawa at Canada Cup. Like Lap Chi flew him and Liu Kang out. And then when I met them, they asked me, oh, like it was funny because like he knows that he's in the game, right? He knows he's like the face in Mortal Kombat 11, like he's like the Shang Tsung pretty much. And he asked like, so am I good at the game? And I'm like, man, to be honest, I don't think so. And he was so sad that he was not like top tier. I think in the beginning, like he wasn't like good, like good, like in meta usage or whatever.
Why
I was like, yeah.
Would you lie to him? The dude is like 75, man, or like 70 years old.
You mean you wanted me to lie to him, say that he's a very good
character? Absolutely. What the hell? You could have been like, dude, you're pretty godlike in the game. Not gonna lie.
I mean, I said that like, bro, as a character, like you're like the sickest character in the game.
but you suck, man.
But in tournament. Usage, not many people use you.
Oh god. Oh man, that's brutal.
We're actually gonna come back around to Carrie a little bit later. For now though, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, that's
trash.
released just 2 years later. It was absolutely fast tracked. They're like, we have to make another one now to coincide with MK4. The whole deal with MK4 is we have to get all these projects lined up and ready to go at the same time to promote it. And that's what like a lot of people said, like all they did was bump everyone up on the crew that was on the first movie. Like the director of photography became the director because there wasn't time to do a big search and get a whole of just pump everyone up one position and just film. The guy that played like just a body double in Mortal Kombat 1 became Sub-Zero in this movie, blah, blah, blah. But we obviously know it's all trash. Now, I, for the longest time, is like, no, it's unwatchable. You're miserable watching it. Like, and it's still a lot of that, but there is enough like absolute stupidity and stuff. You have to like laugh. It does make it funny, but there are bouts of just like, this is hard to watch. But the guy that plays Shao Kahn, got his name as Thompson, like something Thompson, Brian Thompson. And he's been in like episodes of X-Files.
Yeah,
he's been
a bad guy from X-Files.
And Buffy. He's like always a big vampire guy in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Dude. So he is so bad. It's the opposite of Raul Julia, but so like past like a zero that it goes back to like a 10, and where it's like, is he acting? What is he doing? Is he on another level? Is this advanced acting? And we don't know it.
Advanced.
I hated it.
Do you still hate it?
I do. Cause they kill Johnny Cage off like in the first two seconds.
That's
like,
that
got me mad.
Like, let's get rid of one of the most, popular parts of the first movie. That's a good idea.
No, so
apparently the actor, they just didn't want to pay him. He wanted more money, as he should get more money for a sequel. They're like, nah, just hire somebody else. We'll just kill him off. It's fine.
I know you mentioned this in a few episodes before, but pretty much after, I guess, that movie that he just got killed off in the first 2 seconds, didn't he start like doing like advertisements for like different like cabinets and stuff for Mortal Kombat, right?
No, that was the actual digitized actor, Daniel Piscina.
Okay.
In the game. But then, he did advertise it for Bloodstorm, and Midway got really pissed off.
Yeah, that's what actually separated him from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's why I thought they killed him so fast after
it's related to the arcade games.
But Johnny Cage was back in MK4, so the timeline didn't quite work out. But if it was around like around 94, 95, like after Mortal Kombat 2, because remember Johnny Cage not in Mortal Kombat 3 or Ultimate even.
Yeah.
Only came back for Trilogy and they rehired a new actor to play him. But you watch Annihilation nowadays, like the CG is just so bad. Apparently it's unfinished. Like they had another pass they needed to do and they're like, no, New Line Cinema or whoever, we're like, no, just put it on theaters. We can't wait. Stuff like that. And like, you know, a lot of moments I'm like, okay, I will watch that moment again when the animalities come out and Shaolin monk from China, Liu Kang turns into an Elden Ring dragon. That's just the most European. Looks nothing like
his Chinese dragon.
Dragon in the game. Yep.
And Shao Kahn turns into like a weird worm hydra, and
then they fight. It is
fight.
It is the most Like, I think I described that. Like, I remember seeing it again. I'm like, this is a CG fuck.
This
fest.
Is amazing.
Like, I don't know what I'm even looking at anymore. Like, and that's the funny thing is that we're, I kind of give kids some credit sometimes, and sometimes I won't. But sometimes kids are smart. And the funny thing about that movie is that that movie had that reputation. Right, you kids aren't just gonna eat shit up and just spoon feed me more shit. When things are good, people respond well, and even in they're young. So the first Mortal Kombat movie, a lot of kids loved it. I was a kid and I loved it, and then only a couple years later, I was still a kid and that movie sucked. Like I didn't even. I remember putting the VHS in and renting it, and I didn't even finish it. Like it was so unmotivating to just compete watching it at all. Like I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
That is such a damning statement when you're a kid. Like as boring. A kid and watch it. I really wanted to go see in the theater, and my parents are like, you can go see it, but you have to like bring home a good report card, because it was right before Christmas break. And I came back with a very poor report card, shocking nobody. So like, you can't go see it. I'm like, oh, okay, I won't go see it then. And I didn't. So then I watched it when it did come out in VHS, and like my memories are hazy, but like, that's bad that they're hazy, because they weren't hazy from the first Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah.
So I hated it for a long, long time, and I still kind of do. But now it's almost to the level of Street Fighter Van Damme, where it's like so funny, it's good. But
that's tough. That's tough for you to say, because I still don't think that whatsoever. Like I think the only good moment I could think about that whole entire movie was probably like, maybe the Cyrax
suckers,
the Cyrax and Scepter one,
Cyrax like, Jax one, fight,
right?
Or yeah, the that's Sector the
only
Jax
one I can
fight.
Think about it. That's it's the only one I can think about.
What about the fight where What about the encounter where Shao Kahn gets really angry at Rain? Rain does appear in this movie for like 5 minutes.
And he gets smoked,
or he knocks Rain into like a fiery pit and he dies. But when they did that, all they did was recycle a shot of a Baraka dying.
Really? Wow. I didn't even know that.
Like the last 2 seconds, it's like you just see the actor that's playing Baraka with a little like white shirt and the red cuffs.
Wow.
And he just falls in, and they're just like, no, there's no time. So we don't have time for that.
There's something I noticed about this movie when I was like briefly watching it, because I still have not seen it from beginning to end in full. I don't think I ever have.
But it's too hard.
It's difficult. Like it's a hard watch, man. But it's like this was their approach when they came to it. And it's like, okay, we're gonna have a bunch more fight scenes, right? So what made the first movie popular? Like this is the idea that the first movie is actual filmmaking. They're actually making a film, right? The second movie, they're just like, so what made the first movie popular, right? What was good about that movie? Techno and fight scenes. And that's what the second movie is. We just have a fight scene, cue the techno, and then expecting the same result. But no, there's proper buildup. There's anticipation. The techno works with the scene well, because it's sort of coordinated that way. Like, and that's what the second movie is.
In the first movie, they're spending time gathering all the warriors, like manipulating them to come to the tournament, which is such a like strong fighting game story thing, manipulating the chess pieces to get into the tournament for whatever reason. And this movie starts off with like a full invasion of ninjas flipping in a purple sky, because they're directly after 3 seconds of when the first movie ended, where a big illusion of Shao Kahn is like, brah, 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 brah. And they start off there, which kind of fucks over the pacing of this movie for the rest of it. Not to say it's its fault completely, but the fact that they just kind of didn't have Shao Kahn start talking and then say, oh, there's going to be a tournament in Outworld, I dare you to come back, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes away. No, they leap over Mortal Kombat 2, and now they're like, now we're talking Mortal Kombat 3 now.
Yeah.
Because Mortal Kombat 3 was the game out that, Mortal Kombat 3 came out when the first movie came out. So whatever, MK4, I guess, because remember, Shinnok is in this movie.
Yeah. And it was pretty clear that when the first movie came out, even though it was Mortal Kombat 3, there was clearly up to MK2 influence. There was like Katana was in it, there was Reptile, and then by the time the next one came, it was like full-on invasion, like Earth fucking invasion type crazy shit's gonna happen, just like Mortal Kombat 3.
So I've had to watch this movie several more times in the last couple of years.
Oh, sorry.
Because I just made content. Like, I did a movie commentary with Matthew from Botchamania, and it's his favorite movie, like, ever. Yeah, he's really? Like, no, it's amazing. I don't care what anybody says. When you mentioned Cyrax versus Jax, when there's this moment where Jax throws like a gurney, like a metal gurney at Cyrax, and Cyrax does this flip in the air and the camera's pointing up at him from the floor, yeah. And you see his little dreadlocks and flying around.
Grabs him.
And then a beat drops, like for the music, like goes yes. And he's like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Wow, that's actually tragic.
It is a little bit tragic. It was really depressing as a kid, because you're like, sequels are better in your head. You're like, Aliens are, you know, Aliens is maybe not better, but you know what I mean? It's like different. It's just as good, or it's a different it's thing. Better. Oh, Terminator. Okay, good. I'm glad we got that huge podcast over in 1 second by you saying that. Terminator 2, blah, blah, blah. And you're just Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Like, it, you know, the marketing worked from that perspective. But it's so, because it killed Mortal Kombat movies from then on out. They could never get another one going. There are all these attempts to try to, like, listen, Mortal Kombat Annihilation still made money. It wasn't like hugely profitable, but like they just never got it. Mainly because the producer, Larry Kasanov, sued Midway, saying it was all my work that made these characters popular.
Ooh.
And you owe me $40 billion.
Wow, really?
I didn't say million.
Wait a minute.
I said 40 billion.
Is he from MK, the first movie or the second?
He produced the first movie. Okay. He's the producer. He owned Threshold Entertainment, who made all the Mortal Kombat media, the cartoon show, the live action TV show, and like the little animated things at the time. Right. So it was like, I'm spinning this off into whatever. And he like sued Midway, or tried to sue them, and say it was like the only reason Mortal Kombat's still big nowadays is because of like my stuff. So you owe me like $40 billion.
That's weird you mentioned that, because you brought back ancient memories of the Mortal Kombat animated show. I forget what it was called. You'll know.
I guess, Max? Yeah. I have the answer right for you. It's called Defenders of the Realm.
Defenders of the Realm. So here's a crazy backstory to me and my animation career. I was an intern for a lead character animator of Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, who was also a Universal animator. So he was working on Land Before Time 4 or something, and like some mask thing. Anyway, he was doing in-betweens, or not in-betweens, he was doing keyframing on a Liu Kang stuff for Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, and I was interning, and he also had me help him on some of like the tweening in between some frames and stuff like that to put keyframes. So somewhere holy in shit. There is some random intern work of my end that somewhere at some point got put in something in that show. So I don't know where it is, but it was just some random Liu Kang shot.
That's great. Like
unpaid, yeah, of course, cool. Because that's the way the industry
intern,
works.
Yeah. Intern, yeah.
So, next we have actually, it's guess what? After Mortal Kombat Annihilation, fighting game live action movies stopped happening for almost 10 years.
I feel like we can't really even go forward to the next live action fighting game thing without keeping on this Mortal Kombat train and accepting the fact that the latest one is also included.
Well, I was going chronologically.
Okay.
Because there are some things that come out before, but because in most people's heads, that's it. You know, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, then there's no fighting game movies
for a long, long time. I understand if you forgot that movie came out a couple years ago. But
No, not at all. But 2006, almost 10 years later, after Mortal Kombat Annihilation, came Dead or Alive. Now, I've watched this movie, but I haven't watched in a long time. And they have Kevin Nash, Diesel from WWF playing Bass Armstrong. Bass, yeah. They have all these of Devin Aoki playing Kasumi. It is a movie with Ryu Hayabusa in it. And that's so shocking and weird to me. And he's just this hot Asian dude that never wears a ninja mask. That's it. And it is just an excuse to watch girls in the bikinis fight. There's cyber glasses that Eric Roberts, brother of Julia Roberts, wears to look at people fight, and it absorbs their fighting data so he can become the ultimate, like, whatever. And that's all I really remember from now, it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this not a UA Bowl movie?
It is not.
It is not?
No.
I think it's a think secret so. UA Bowl movie.
A secret.
I think it's, he's like a hidden director.
he gave advice. He was a consultant.
No, I think he's actually like the ghost director of the film.
Do a 360 on the arcade stick, up, down, press start, hidden director. Yeah. It is directed by a man named Corey Yen. He's like a Hong Kong director and just directed a bunch of stuff. And apparently he was just brought in because, like, we need someone to choreograph and direct fights, and that's it. Like, it doesn't matter the story. Just, you know, get these girls in bikinis now. So now.
And it's interesting. It's interesting to tell, like, when what Dead or Alive was going through at this point. At this point, it probably would have been around the Dead or Alive 3 to Dead or Alive 4 phase.
It's around there.
It was a big Xbox property at this time frame. So it would have been very much in association with, like, an American branding, because it was a big Xbox game, which is why they were just trying to, like, and I think the thing that did it to me, why I didn't even bother watching it anyway, is that it came straight to home video. It was like a straight to DVD, not even theater running it. Like, no characters look like anybody from the show except Zach. The guy that plays Zach, I remember kind of looking like Zach. So I was like, okay, but all, like, the characters just look completely like, wow, this is okay.
The actor, I think the only other one maybe is that the actress that played Tina Armstrong, yeah, is,
I,
like,
I remember Tina looked like Tina to,
yeah,
me.
Because okay. It was this well-known actress in the 2000s that was in shows like My Name Is Earl and stuff. So she was kind of well known, and she did have like a southern, like, you know, wrestling accent. So that was kind of good. But again, it's been a long time since I watched it. But I remember it not being very good. And I remember hearing that the production was also a massive mess. Surprise, surprise. But neither of you guys have actually seen this then, right?
No, sorry.
I did not watch it, but I skimmed through it on YouTube, because the whole movie at this point is on YouTube.
It's played it at 4.5 speed.
Yeah, I'm just like looking at it and I'm like, oh yeah, so this is literally just an excuse, like you said, Matt, to get girls in bikinis and fight. Like, that's literally what I thought when I was just skimming through the whole thing.
Right. So you just put out a video on your channel where you and some other panda folks are skimming through fighting game movies, yeah?
You know, I was just like looking at it and I'm like, bro, this is just terrible.
I can't wait to rewatch it. I'll make Matthew rewatch it with me. So 2006, after that, a few more years of absolute silence, and then we have Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, which, like, from the very beginning, the concept of, let's not have a Street Fighter movie, let's have a movie that focuses on a character. And I was like, I don't care if it's my favorite, going to be my favorite character, like, Chun-Li's high up there. It's like, this is not going to work. And I don't know if you guys remember, but the late 2000s, terrible time in general for anything compared to the mid 90s, because a late 2000s thing is always trying to be serious, little bit edgy, you know, dramatic, but you can't do that with Street Fighter, or it's very hard to do it. So you watch this thing, and it's been a while, admittedly, but I tried making in my earliest time in YouTube, like being on YouTube and stuff, I tried to make like a supercut of that movie and show all the shitty parts. Because I was doing that with the Street Fighter animated cartoon and stuff at the time. And just YouTube, even at this time, like 2009, YouTube was like, no, you are not showing any clips of this. And like copyright strikes up the ass and stuff. So I never got to do it. But you watch this thing, Kristen Kreuk from Smallville, who played Lana Lane, whatever. She is Chun-Li. You have Michael Clark Duncan as Balrog. You have
Not bad.
That's good casting.
Yeah.
You have Neil McDonough, who's like a character actor, has been in like a billion movies, but he's playing Bison.
Why?
And this Bison is so weird, because remember what I said about like edgy and trying to be serious? It's like Bison is a man in a suit. Bison is basically Geese Howard. And you think that would be cool, but it's not.
It's not.
You have one of the members of Black Eyed Peas playing Vega.
Vega, yeah.
Yeah. You have Robin Shu, who played Liu Kang in the first Mortal Kombat movie, yep, playing Gen.
Yeah.
And that man at that point was like 40 years old. And they're like, let's put him in an old wig. That's good enough to play like this 80-year-old martial arts master.
And then the cringe lord character himself, who plays Nash.
It's like a dude from like American Pie or some shit. Yeah. It's like some American Pie actor.
It's so brutal to watch.
That's brutal. It's been like, I want to say almost 10 years since I watched it, but like, I can't imagine. I remember Neil McDonough's Bison has two amazing lines that are like, I don't know what they thought with this, but like, he's got Chun-Li's father, because the whole movie is about Chun-Li saving her father. He's got Chun-Li's father in like a chokehold or something. And he's like, your father has been the milk. I don't know why he says milk like this, but he says it, the milk of my corporation. But some days even milk has an expiration date.
Crack.
I think he cracks. I can't remember. But he's like so cringe, and he's a good character actor. He's been in lots of stuff. And I was like, what's going on with this? And I don't remember there being any fights. I remember Chun-Li spins around in a club, like does a spinning bird kick, and that's it. That's all I remember. Did any of you guys see this in the theater?
Hell no.
No way. No, there's no.
Hell
when
no.
When you look at the trailer itself, it's like, why would you pay to watch to pay for it in the theater, right? So
I just think there was zero confidence.
A free DVD. Yeah, I think I got a free DVD from Capcom, and then that was it. And then I couldn't even watch the whole thing. It was literally impossible.
Justin writes back an email and says, "Do not send me any more DVDs of this movie."
Real. Like I used to own it for sure, because I remember having the actual DVD itself, and I definitely just probably threw it away.
Use it as a coaster. But do you remember any other like scenes or whatever that were like especially bad or what or no? Or just,
it's been a long time, so I didn't even get to finish the whole movie, so I definitely didn't want to watch it.
We should do a commentary track watching it.
I think I've seen like supercuts and a Nash compilation of whenever the hell he talks, and it's just I can barely get through it, man. I just can't bring myself to hear him talk anymore with whatever the hell he has to say. But then I remember seeing specifically like the final scene where Chun-Li blows Bison off of a rooftop and he dies or gets impaled or something like that. And the CG that they had for Chun-Li's like Kikoken, which she eventually throws a fireball, right, and knocks Bison off a building, was so aggressively bad. Like,
what do you mean?
It looked so poor that the stuff that like Freddie Wong was doing was like at the time multi-million dollar corporations bigger than what the heck. It looked like it was just like an overlay of a 2D effect, not even in 3D space, and like all post horseshit. Like nobody knew how any idea how to do this. I want to see it now. Hang on a second. Okay. I need to go back and see if it's as bad as I remember.
So I believe this was like a financial like loss for everyone involved, because it's like, even we're talking about how the Van Damme movie is charming, that doesn't translate over to this. It's completely made in a different time based on like, you know, it's doing a different thing. It's like a reboot essentially. So I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe Capcom still makes money off this somehow, but I can't imagine.
No, and I don't think there's any way.
Oh, it's worse than I thought. Oh my God. Okay. It's so bad.
Max, Max, do a print screen on that, and we'll get it up on the screen.
No, I have to send you guys the link. You have to react to this line. Okay. I just want you to watch. I'm gonna give you a time code, and I'm gonna share it with you right now. And what's gonna be great is that everyone at home is going to be able to experience this, but I just want you to watch. Just watch her building up the Kikoken.
Bro. she's doing like the wax on, wax off thing going
right
on.
But look at the effect. It's just like this flat thing that is just
and
twisting.
She keeps going,
and she can't, they like this looks so amazing, doesn't it? Right, it looks so good. I could not believe it, man.
Do you not see the confidence in her face when doing that move?
Like, it's a complete flat effect when it's the shot of her, and they just scale it bigger when it gets towards this. As somebody just, that did a lot of special effects on Assist Me, my mind is blown that this is an actual movie.
Again, it's called Advanced Movie Makings, Max. They knew. They had the confidence to put an effect like that in the film.
I think the best part is when you look at the comments, the first comment says, the Power Rangers look more convincing than this when they morph.
And that's like, we got to have a game thing in there. And the entire movie, like, there's not like, you know, crazy special moves or, you know, like delayed hyper combos and shit happened on screen. So when someone finally goes, oh, shit, we have to put in a special move. What does that look like? That's not the movie we're making. We got to put in a special move. Oh, fuck. And that's what you wind up with, right?
Oh, that's so good. I think the comments is the best part about this video, actually, just looking at all of them.
That movie sucks, man.
All of them that we've talked about so far, this probably is the biggest drag. I think in general, well, maybe there's one more, but we'll see. So 2009 was actually a really busy year for fighting game movies for whatever reason, because fighting games were back, right?
Yeah, I mean, Street Fighter 4, right?
That's
the revival.
There was the same year, Tekken, the motion picture. Now, not to be confused with the Tekken animated motion picture from like 1997. Have you guys seen Tekken? I'm not sure if Max has.
Nope.
I skimmed through Tekken because I know we were talking about it. And yeah, bro, Jin was a horn dog teenager. That's what I got from it. Because yeah, he hooked up with a lot of people. And I think the one thing that did stood out for Tekken to me, there was two things. That one, Heihachi was definitely Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa, and that was the worst Heihachi in the world. Like, literally the most terrible. Like, it was a Halloween cosplay at that point. Like, you know, he just pretty much glued like the little Heihachi like white hair stuff on his ears and called it a day. That, and actually, I thought what was surprising was this came out in 2009, right?
Yeah.
So they had Raven in there.
It's post Tekken 6.
They have Raven and Miguel in it, actually.
Yeah, too. They have Raven and Miguel. And then, and I thought they looked good. Like Yoshi and Raven and Eddie. That was like the only thing I'm like, bro, like they look really good.
So the weird thing is this movie slavishly is devoted to a lot of the character designs. Like, they stay really true to like almost all of them. Jin even gets like his gloves from Kazuya, but he gets them in a different, they're not Kazuya's, they're actually Steve Fox, because Steve Fox is in the movie but he doesn't fight, he's kind of like Jin's trainer. So the movie definitely takes some liberties with this story. They basically say after the Tekken Wars, the world is like falling apart and is controlled by seven corporations, and the greatest corporation is Iron Fist. It's just called Iron Fist, right? And it's still Heihachi is the head of it, and Jin is like a freedom fighter, and it's all mixed up and it's kind of weird, but at least they make it like their own thing. Like, they commit to an idea here, and when they actually get to the Iron Fist tournament, they do a good job at emulating the glitzy show that Tekken sometimes presents itself as. Like, you know, Tekken Tag 2 and stuff. Like, it presents itself like, oh, it's a big, fun martial arts competition. And to get around the idea of, like, well, we're not traveling around the world to go to different places, they have sets in, like, an arena. And the sets are made up to be, like Moonlight Wilderness or, like, you know, a fun vacation area. And my main issue with this, because I watched this, like, a few months ago, because I was doing another commentary, the main issue is Kazuya is the worst. He is the central villain, but they say Kazuya should be crying, whimpering, and complaining the entire movie. He's like, my daddy doesn't love me. I will take over Tekken one day. And he's always scheming and he looks upset. I'm like, that is not this character.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Jin. Everyone else is like, that's Eddie. Eddie shows up. He looks exactly like Eddie Gordo. He just mashed a bunch of moves out. That looks like Yoshi. You know, Heihachi is great, but like, they spend so much time on Kazuya, and it's like cringy. That, like, I'm sure that actor is doing his best, but it's he, he's it's real rough out of almost all of these, because the movie's close to being like, that's not too bad. The fights are also pretty solid, but this is the time where MMA was starting to get like super, super big and the mainstream. So all the fights are very MMA. Yeah, all lots of them.
And everything,
a lot of grapples, right? And tackles.
A lot mounted punches every fight.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Those types of things are in Tekken, but it's for characters that like don't even do that shit. What also sucks is that they mention characters, but they never show up. They're like, oh, Martial Law had a great, amazing fight against Paul Phoenix last year.
But you'll never see it.
You'll never, ever see it.
Yeah, that was back in the day.
Yeah. And you watch it and there are some nuggets. Like there's a scene where Kazuya walks away from an explosion and literally goes, hey, Hachimashima is dead. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And there's a bit.
That is sick.
Because, you know, I mean, it was pretty fresh in people's minds, that scene, right? So, and the last little bit was just like, oh, that's really sick, is, you know, spoilers, Kazuya betrays Heihachi and, like, steals the Tekken Corporation from him. Yeah. And Heihachi's about to, like, maybe get killed, it's unclear. And Heihachi, Kerry Tagawa, looks up at the person's about to shoot him in the face. He's like, I am Mishime Heihachi. I am Tekken. And it cuts and it just goes to the next scene. And then at the end of the movie, after the credits, there's a Marvel post credit scene. And I'm like, that's awesome. So
what is it this for, movie, though? Is someone turning Devil Jin or something?
No, they never even Devil Gene is never really explored. Like, unfortunately, I would have loved that though.
It would have been cool. The only thing I also was like, damn, why they had to do her like that was, why did June have to just like die from like a missile?
Yeah,
yeah. She
doesn't get to fight.
They literally just bombed, like, because Jin and June were living together, pretty much like mom and son, and pretty much a missile just comes down, blows up their house. Jin avoided it, and yeah, that was the end of June.
It's a bit sad because you see a few training segments, like flashbacks, where she's training Jin, but that's about it. Big shout outs to Max might like this specifically, since this is the future, right? There's a memory device to store data, and they're like, Jin, you have to get us this memory device. You have to run it over to us and steal it. And he comes back and he's like, Jin, you have no idea how like precious this is. This holds over 20,000 gigs. And that's it. It's like, there. What's a high number? What's a high number?
20,000 gig. Did they say gigabytes?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't say you can't say 3 terabytes, because that doesn't sound like a lot. No. So for a mainstream audience, what's a lot? 20,000 gigs.
They should have just said, this memory device has the power of 16 PS3s.
Has the power of the sun in the palm of my hand.
We can launch a nuke with this.
So this apparently was a bit of a success because in 2014, some 5 years later, Tekken 2 Kazuya's Revenge came out. And this has a different actor playing Kazuya. Kerry Tagawa returns as Heihachi Mishima with no hair.
This is young.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're going for. And I think Brian Fury is also in this. Brian Fury was in the first Tekken movie. This is the one I actually have not seen myself. I keep meaning to. A nice fan years ago sent me a DVD in the mail, and I was just like, oh, that's sick. I never even knew this existed. So I do want to see this one, but I did read some reviews basically stating like, this is really drab and really boring, but the fights are actually quite good. They're choreographed pretty well.
The first thing I did was look up like what the cover looks like. And yeah. I see Tekken 2, La Venganza de Kaguya. the Spanish version in HD DVD.
Bro, how much to rent on Amazon?
So remember I said 2009 was still, we have a third movie, fighting game movie, that was made in 2009, and that is King of the Fighters. Please tell me one of you have seen this.
Of course not, Matt. We're not. We don't watch this weird degenerate stuff that's so terrifying. King of the Fighters.
You know, I did not watch it, but
I can't Google that.
I skimmed through it, and I don't understand what it was. Like I literally was trying to watch it, and I'm like, this is nothing like King of Fighters. They just took the names of characters and just made a brand new movie.
So, if I was to ask either you'd watch just one thing, it would Max is having
Ray Park terrible. Is playing like a crazy edgelord, not Iori.
No, Ray Park, Darth Maul is playing a Rugal.
No,
that's Rugal, dude.
So is this main dude supposed to be Kyo?
Yeah. Is it a white guy that you're looking at, yes. or is it an Asian dude? Yeah, that's Kyo. They don't talk about why he's a white guy.
They don't.
He's
talk playing. About
he has a sword.
That's that's the sword of Kusanagi.
They do have the three sacred treasures in this film. To be fair,
the best one to me was like Mai and Iori are like boyfriend girlfriend type of thing.
Yeah, Iori is played by like Will. I forget his name, but he was the main character in this the game Sleeping Dogs. So he's a very good actor, but like he's terrible as Iori. This is such a weird thing, this weird connection. The guy that plays Terry Bogard, Terry is an FBI agent in this film, because of course he is. his name is David Letich, whatever. He tried his hand at being an actor. It failed. And he's like, you know what? I still really like fighting and choreography. I'm going to direct movies instead. Years later, he would create and direct John Wick. And now he's like a big established like action movie director. I think he also directed Atomic Blonde. But the John Wick thing is weird because two guys directed or co-directed that movie or whatever. It gets a little, you know, confusing. But that's just a weird thing. Terry, the guy that played this awful Terry Bogard. So what I did when I was making a YouTube shitpost is I took Terry's scenes and I just overlaid all of Terry's game noises and quotes over any time.
Hey,
come on! Like, come on. People are talking to him in normal English in the movie. It's like, Terry, we have to get into another dimension to stop the Orochi. We have to go now. And he's like, okay! Like, it was a great time. But this has an alternate dimension where people put on an earpiece that sends them to other dimensions to fight. And that's where they get special moves and stuff, because you can't have real special moves in real life, right? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh yeah,
so does that other one makes way more sense.
It does, Max. Technology, come on. it's always evolving.
Come on.
the story is Rugal steals the three treasures, gets super powerful. Everyone has to stop him. That's basically it. But I encourage you both, with some friends or something, to watch this one, because this is approaching so bad it's good with the amount of ridiculous stuff that happens and keeps happening. And just when you see this version of the SNK universe, it's because it's way more complicated than Street Fighter. You know what I mean? Street Fighter is generally it's just a tournament that happens with all the monsters and mystical bullcrap that happens in KOF. Like, this thing is kind of special in that way. It is out now in stores, and you can rent it on Amazon Prime.
Available now.
I don't know. I just skimmed through it, and it just seems so terrible.
You know what's funny?
I know.
Is that, like, of all the things we're mentioning, like, Mortal Kombat of the live actions is, like, the big one that stands out that is still pretty good, like Mortal Kombat 1. And then there's some, like, nods here of So Bad It's Good, like Street Fighter the Movie type of thing. I think I have to give special shout-out to a really weird and absolutely bizarre scene in the middle of City Hunter featuring Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Where Jackie relives the Street Fighter. He like gets sucked into an arcade machine or something like that and has to fight
good.
Street Becomes Fighter characters.
Chun-Li. Yeah, yeah, that was
and
good.
And he dresses up as Chun-Li at one point, and it's shockingly better than most of these movies.
That reminds me, I remember Justin said he wanted to give a shout out to that bootleg Street Fighter movie. Tell us about it.
So Future Cops, it's a movie made in Hong Kong, like I believe in like 1993, and I guess like what a lot of people do in Hong Kong is make like a lot of bootleg movies without asking for like permission and rights. So they use a lot of Street Fighter reference characters that you definitely can't recognize, but they don't use their names like Ryu, Ken, and stuff like that. So this pretty much is a future, like you're in the future. Bison is called the General. They're trying to stop the General from like taking over the world. So the General goes back in time and tries to kill this one dude that pretty much like stops their future. Very Terminator 2-ish, right? Go back in time and kill like Sarah O'Connor or like the son and everything. So he goes back in time and then the people that go back in time are the good guys. Their name is Vega. Vega's name is T-Man, like so T-I-M-A-N.
Okay.
So then there's Gaio, but his name is Broomhead because it's like a broom, right? Because it goes straight up. And then you have Ken, but his name is Kent, K-E-N-T, right? And then
that's amazing.
And then you have Chun Li, but there's Chun Li's name is Chun Mei. Right. Okay. And the best part is that there's a scene where Chun Li is fighting Sagat, but his name is Tai King.
that's awesome, actually.
That's actually a good one.
Right. And then the best part is Sagat's smoking Chun Li, and then Chun Li's mom comes out, and there's two, and then they have to fight two Chun Li's at the same time. And then eventually, somehow, the kid that they're trying to kill unlocks his power, and he comes out as Son Goku from Dragon Ball. Literally, his hair and his outfit becomes Dragon Ball, and they all fight Bison. Literally, it's like 10v1 at this point.
This is a Mugen game, the movie. Yeah.
It's 10v1 at this point, and then Vega does his Sky High Claw attack, goes through Bison's body, and then Gaio somehow finds a missile. This is taken in school, right? And puts it inside Bison's body, and he blows up, and then the world is saved. So that's literally the movie from start to finish. The most craziest part is that the actors that they hired were actually the biggest actors and singers in Hong Kong in this era. Like literally, really? Like they were like the Backstreet Boys of Hong Kong. Like they were the most famous people. They were supposed to make part two. It didn't happen because probably they probably took all their money, but the movie was great to watch. Like literally the fight scene at the end was the funniest fight scene that you can just laugh from like start to finish.
I absolutely need to watch this because I've seen like very brief clips. I've seen like little nuggets of it, and I've always wanted to sit down and watch it. And this is Future Cops.
Future Cops, yeah. It's, okay. You can watch literally the whole thing on YouTube. But it's a great fun to watch just because these are literally Street Fighter characters coming from the future in the year 2043, coming back to like 1993.
What do you think about an exchange? I'll watch Future Cops, but you have to watch KOF.
Bro, like, I think you would love Future Cops. That's the problem.
I think you would love KOF.
I don't think I'll love KOF whatsoever, but I mean, okay, I guess I'll be down for that.
Call it a gentleman's bet, you know? Like,
yeah.
If you can make it through this, then, like, I don't know, you win bragging rights. So we're winding down a little bit. Obviously, there's lots of animes and animated, like, series and stuff, and we'll talk about that sometime in the future, but again, after Tekken 2, I guess technically, I think that never released in theaters, but another long stretch of time of nothing happening, and the Mortal Kombat reboot from 2021 is next. Now that got a lot of like rewrites, and that they were trying to do stuff, and like I think they're about to film somewhere, but then there was like a natural disaster or something that delayed filming. Then of course, the cheery customer that is COVID also delayed Mortal Kombat quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing about this movie years and years ago where it said the premise was a supermarket employee, like a guy that just stocks the shelves, is sucked into the Mortal Kombat tournament and has to like, so, but think about it. This nugget of information kind of became true in the sense that they had an outsider guy that's not from Mortal Kombat become the main character. Yeah. So that might be like a Purple Monkey Dishwasher situation where just a bit of the truth came out, and they're like, oh, it's an everyday guy you know, whatever, get sucked in Mortal Kombat tournament, because we have to, if this is a reboot, we have to re-explain everything. We don't want to do everything the exact same way. So let's try this to varying degrees of success. Now, when I saw this, my expectations were like kind of low. I thought the first trailer or two, I was like, that looks, I don't know, solid. I mean, this is coming after Mortal Kombat Annihilation. How worse can it be? And when I actually finished watching the film, I have some problems with it, but I was like, this is better than I thought it was going to be. Like, there's some sections where I was like, that was legit awesome. Obviously, the really gory fatalities. The guy that played Kano was quite good. I really liked Kung Lao and Liu Kang. It does feel super awkward that one of them is not the main character, or maybe Sonya or something. They have this OC, do not steal, Cole in there, and like, he's just not that very interesting. And I am very thankful that when they show Cole's family and he wants to fight for his family, they don't dawdle on that too much. Cause if they did like a bunch of tender scenes with his family, I'm like, no, you can't do this.
I love my family.
Like, that's his pro tag fuel, right? And then there's certain characters that get jobbed out way too hard, like Goro. The Goro CG in this looks fantastic, actually, for like, you know, a mid-tier film. And you just need more Shang Tsung. They have a great looking Shang Tsung guy, but he didn't get to do enough.
Yeah.
They have a Raiden in there. It's nice that he's actually Asian, the Asian God of Thunder, but he doesn't get to do much. And I read that the whole thing of this movie is that we wanted to have kind of almost a prequel to actually having a tournament movie. This is like the stuff that happens before the tournament. And I'm like, that's interesting. I would love that to have gotten over a bit before the movie came out, because a lot of people are just expecting Mortal Kombat Tournament. And Tournament doesn't even happen. But like, I think the action is good. The CG is quite good and stuff. But there is story things where I'm like, I don't know about this. And I know Max really hates the fact that they don't get Ed Boon to say, get over here. It's the actor saying, get over here.
They changed that in the actual theatrical cut. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Like, by the time maybe I'm forgetting incorrectly, because the movies to me was kind of forgettable. But I remember that actually being different when we eventually saw the movie and looking over towards Kenny and see, like, they changed it. Oh, weird.
Okay.
Like, the delivery was different.
When I talked to Kenny about this, he was like, yeah, it was solid. I liked it. I want to see what they did more. And the staggering fact about this movie is like, it outperformed on HBO Max every superhero movie that is premiered there.
Yeah.
Did better than Wonder Woman.
Hype.
Yeah. Yeah. Did better than Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, and The Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazily enough. Now, it didn't have a big theatrical run. Like, it didn't do super well there. But apparently it's profitable enough, and they're doing a sequel. They're going to do a big Johnny Cage arc, and the world is watching and waiting. Who will play Johnny Cage? Will it be The Miz? Will it be whoever?
I think The Miz would be pretty good for it. But I would say I had like 50-50 with the movie. Like, I thought the first 10 minutes of the movies was the best thing ever.
Dude,
like,
that Sub-Zero Jason scene is actually really cool.
Yeah, it was so good. Right? It was so good. And then all of a sudden, we were introduced to Cole, and I was like, for at least 45 minutes, I was like, is this supposed to be Liu Kang? Because I didn't read up anything, because I'm just watching this blind, right? So I'm thinking like, okay, this is Liu Kang. For at least 45 minutes until they got to the section where they introduced Liu Kang. And I'm like, oh, so this is actually a brand new character. Like, the whole entire set. So my mind got blown afterwards.
Did you think Cole was like a Mortal Kombat 3D character on the PS2 that you just didn't remember?
I didn't know who he was. I was like,
I thought they were going to turn him into Liu Kang at some point.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He was going to like find out that he's like an avatar state sort of thing, where it's like passed on.
That's what I 100% thought.
I thought they're going to make him literally turn into Scorpion. Like, Scorpion just becomes a stand in this movie.
That's what I thought they were going to do. That was the thing that we were arguing about, where it's like, wouldn't it have been better if he is like the embodiment, the physical embodiment of Scorpion, and then Scorpion takes him over? Yeah. That would have made more sense thematically.
And then you just have that actor, like, maybe when he fights, he just becomes Scorpion.
Exactly.
And when he's not, he's talking. That's interesting. They might even do that in a sequel, because I think they know, like people's main problem with this film, or a lot of people's main problem with this film, is like, we don't really like this character. I don't understand why it couldn't be. But it all goes back to, we don't want Liu Kang to be the hero again. Yeah. And like, yeah, I get that. But at the same time, like, he's such an easy character to slot in there. And like, of course, they throw in Natara from the 3D Mortal Kombat games and just throw her in there.
Flying around and shit.
She's in it for like 1 second.
Yeah. Kung Lao.
The other thing people had issue with, I want to know what you guys felt, but like they do this thing where they're like, again, people don't do all this super powered bullshit. Like, you know, how is Sonya supposed to like shoot lasers or whatever it is? So they have this concept of like, everyone has this like key thing arcana.
Finding their key, like discovering it and what it ended up being was literally their special moves was a great idea.
Okay, cool.
Actually super cool. My problem is that like the tone of the movie is all over the place. And as soon as like I was having a tough time like putting into like a sentence, like a quick sentence, what I feel about it, just that I just don't like it. Like a lot of the time it's a super violent movie, but it feels like a kid's film. And at times it feels like it's like an incredibly violent movie that's like made for 10-year-olds.
But isn't that the Mortal Kombat tone?
It is, but it's shockingly way better in MK1 that is not actually that violent. It just gives the impression of violence and hyper gore, but has actually like a lot better storytelling and character development and stuff like a very classic version of that. So to me, it's like better in the old one without the violence.
I think doing that weird like balance that Mortal Kombat does, especially in the 3D era that got really silly, but still, you know, had violence and stuff. It's much harder to get across that tone in a film, like in an hour and a half.
Yeah,
that's tough. Like even like the greatest movies struggle with like that balance of tone. I'm like, is this a comedy? Is this an action? Is this a horror?
The way the first movie did was by making a couple of characters like really specific, like literal fresh off the boat. Like you have Sonya, Liu Kang, as
and
well as
Johnny Cage,
all like strangers in a forbidden land type of stuff where they're just discovering things with the audience. Right. And they didn't know what to do here because all the characters are familiar with what's going on in Mortal Kombat outside of Cole. So they needed somebody to be the audience, and it had to be Cole. And I'm like, it could have been, and you could have made him so much cooler if he ended up being like hidden Scorpion, like he's the one that has the Scorpion gene in him or whatever the heck it is.
Like that could have been his power that he unlocked, right? That he just turned a Scorpion.
Yeah.
But instead, he gets his armor move, and I'm like, what's his armor do? It's literally at one point I'm like thinking, oh, okay, it's just plot armor.
Literally family plot armor. Yeah, it's very it feels like they could have taken it in so many directions that would have actually been really neat, but they just don't.
Do you know what they could have done is take the concept of Cole but make him Takeshi.
That would have been good too.
There's Scorpion connection. What were you saying, Justin?
I would have been down for that too.
Like he's in the lineage.
He's in the lineage, and it's at least a name that maybe not all, especially old Mortal Kombat fans that don't keep up with the games anymore, but at least you can say, well, it's a character from the thing. And he's a young guy that, like, you know, I could see him not understanding all the rules of Mortal Kombat. He knows them. He's like, I know what's going on. But I think that would be a better idea than like, but I also think kind of that they're like, oh, well, that's an old game, Warner Brothers, because Warner Brothers is the movie studio that also put this out. Warner Brothers, that's an old game. We're not talking about the old games right now.
It's so cool if there's like a moment where they're pressuring Cole and then trying to get information out of him. And it's like, what was your grandfather's name? And it was like Scorpion. And it's like, oh, shit, he's Scorpion.
That's what I'm saying. The last fight scene, they build it up so much that like you assume that he was going to just turn into Scorpion completely.
And he doesn't.
He does not.
Like he summons Scorpion towards the end and the last fight where it's like Scorpion and him versus Sub-Zero. What did you think about Sub-Zero basically being actually the bad guy where he's like this slasher villain? It was awesome.
Loved it. That's a great idea.
He did such a great job.
He's super scary and they do a good job at that.
That's like the coolest. I mean, I hate to say coolest, but that's like the best part.
And say it, own it, man.
Is those little chunks of moments like at the end with Scorpion and Sub-Zero when the fights get really creative, when the characters are all just doing nothing but badass special moves to each other. I'm like, fuck, this is cool. Unfortunately, this was the trailer. Cool parts were in the trailer, but that's awesome. Like seeing actual like the spear and this and the ice things, and I'm like, damn, the whole movie should have been this shit. No, that's too much effort. And I'm like, man, but you know, god damn it,
at least they got us in the first 10 minutes though. That's the most important part.
there's definitely like a percentage of this movie that's like exactly what everyone wanted, and it's just kind of bogged down a little bit by like or like even more than a little bit by like some story stuff and some weird decisions. But it does make me hopeful that whoever made some decisions, that at least on like a budgetary level, whatever, that Warner Brothers, that when the sequel comes out, and I think a fairly well-known writer is writing a sequel or something. He was doing some other big movie or series, and I was like, wow, that's a pretty interesting pick to write a movie. And it just seems like they're aware. I even read an interview like, we're aware that people had issues with how the first movie went in terms of story and stuff and characters, but like we're looking to
a lot of that was studio interference, from what we understand.
Sounds like
the whole thing
yeah.
was studio interference.
Yeah, I mean, it's the tale as old as time, really. There is the one bit where, okay, it depends on what it is. It depends on the franchise, but you know the thing of like, they'll put stuff in the background, they'll make references and nods to things, and it's to make the audience clap, to make the audience go, oh, look at that. And like, I totally know when it's happening. I totally know when it's directed at me. But if it's just the right thing at the right time, I will clap the fuck out of that scene or that reference. And for me in this, it was like, they bring all the three heroes, or, you know, Cole, Sonya, and Kano or whatever. And they go into like the training grounds, and you just see Kano bumbling with Shinnok's amulet, which was such a dumb MacGuffin from the MK4 era. And it's like the most powerful thing. And he's like, and then Raiden's like, don't touch that. And then they just walk away. And I just, I love like a whole era being sort of condensed to this dumb, like amulet, like thing. And it's just, no one talks about it. They just leave it or whatever. Like, I want the Kami Dogus from the 3D MKs all lined up or something. Like that'll pop me every time. But, I was still thinking this was going to be a disaster, and I was surprised at how much, like, I was like, oh yeah, that was okay. I'll watch more of that. Like, I was thinking it was going to be like, I was thinking it was going to be like Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li type.
No, it's bad, not boring.
Yeah. It's not boring.
And that's the worst thing that a movie can be. A movie can be so bad it's good, but if a movie is just boring, you don't even want to watch it.
Yeah. I said before, I'd rather be a zero than a five.
Yeah,
because you can enjoy a zero, and a five is Legend of Chun-Li.
Shockingly,
you know?
Dull. Yeah,
shockingly. Please, can we get a Photoshop of the Legend of Chun-Li poster? And I want a
shockingly
quote.
Dull.
I want a quote from Max on there. So I think that about does it for the live action stuff.
My last question, Matt.
What do you got? Yes.
If we could summon into this earth the existence of a fighting game live action, what would it be?
Another franchise being made?
If you could have like a fighting game franchise, the thing exist into this planet.
This is a good question. Soul Calibur? Yeah, I want to see what that would possibly look like, and have UA Bull direct it.
Okay.
That's what I want that more than anything right now.
Justin?
I feel like it's so tough, but you know.
Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Bro, I was actually thinking Marvel's Capcom 1, like the fact that you could do like a crossover, a collab live action movie. I feel like it would be the most terrible thing ever, but I would pay to watch it for sure.
MVCI's story does exist.
No. I want live action. I want
Mega 64 to make it though.
in that, what's it called? That one film mode that they do for the Dragon Ball things.
Exactly.
Where everything has to be in camera.
Do you have one, Max?
Yeah, I want there to be not a full length, like I want an OVA length, 30 to 40 minute Killer Instinct movie.
Of course.
And I want to direct it.
I thought you were going to say Darkstalkers for a reason there, but I mean, that's pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Would it be a Mega 64 style thing, or would it actually look like quite good?
Motherfuckers in suits and shit, like costumes that look aggressively like over the top and crazy, and get people like actually doing choreography and make it about like cool special moves, right?
So it would be like those fan films you've seen over the years, like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, where it's like it's a very small budget thing,
yes,
but it's more about atmosphere and like, yes, or yeah. Predator. fan films. There's been like quite a good few many Predator fan films like
the
that.
Predator Batman Dead End.
Yeah.
Batman versus Predator versus Alien. I would get the guys
versus
that,
Killer Instinct.
There's the crew there was YouTubers that made the Tekken versus Street Fighter Street Fighter Cross Tekken live action thing with like Ken and Ryu that fight Kazuya. Those guys would later go on to do the choreography for Shang-Chi, right?
Really?
And they made a lot of, I think so. And they've made other stuff that is like, they made a, like, My Hero Academia or like school kids fighting like in a playground.
I love that one. Yeah, that one was
amazing.
Good.
Get those guys on board immediately. Super creative camera work, super creative choreography, involves like special moves. It's like it's their destiny to put like a fighting game movie together.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Put them in charge of the like the choreography and the character interaction, and then build a small story around Killer Instinct. Put some fucking hype music to it and just build up the fights, dude. Like, it'd be so much fun.
I want to see a live action Combo Breaker so bad.
Yeah, fucking
oh my god, like, what does that look like? Yeah,
it's a big ass counter moment where the character focuses and is getting eating shit from all these attacks, and all of a sudden
Combo Breaker.
It'd be so sick.
In the Killer Instinct comic, there's a bit of how that works where a Combo is fighting Spinal, and Spinal's doing this teleport, and then there's a thought bubble above Combo's head where he's like, wait, I know this one, he's doing a teleport thing, I can break it with a TJ combo breaker. And yeah, he's like talking to himself, and
there is no way a fight happens without an announcer. Like, has to be like it has to be what Killer Instinct was at its core, which is a broadcasted tournament from a corporation to make money off of the ratings. Like, that is what KI was from Ultra Tech.
Everyone, put up your hands, give the energy to will this into existence. But if KI was to be relaunched by Microsoft, you know, very often, not in the last, like, you know, 5 years or so, I've seen like game publishers like for Sleeping Dogs, Square Enix does stuff like this, or they used to, they will get a little fan movie made like 5-10 minutes to promote an upcoming game. Like, there is a Sleeping Dogs awesome, like, sick martial arts, like 7-minute like thing to get people hyped up. Like, make this happen, that Max gets to direct this for Microsoft for a relaunch.
Get Matt on board to help me write it. Like, that would be the goal.
That would be your baby. Just let me get early access to see it. That's fine. So that's it for fighting game live action movies. Anyone has any suggestions that we could do for like the animated stuff or you know, series stuff like that? Let us know in the comments, because this was actually the genesis of what this podcast was going to be originally. I was like, I just want to talk about fighting game media because it's so fun. So I'm glad we got to do this episode. But again, Justin, your homework, watch King of Fighters, please.
Okay. And then you got to watch Future Cop.
I'll watch Future Cop. Does Max have any homework? Max has to start writing the movie.
Yeah, I got to start working on Killer Instinct. Whatever the Killer Instinct. It might just turn into commercials or something, but you know what? I'm down with it. We're going to chainsaw an arcade machine in half again.